Syria's civil war is now 4 years old with no end in sight, and the humanitarian needs continue to grow to alarming new levels. More than 10.8 million people are currently in need of assistance, 6.5 million of which are internally displaced. Getting help to those in need is the daily mission of today's guest, Mr. Samir Laham, Director of Ecumenical Relations for the Greek Orthodox Patriarchate of Antioch in Damascus, Syria. He joins us today to share a first-hand account of the dire situation inside his homeland and how the Patriarchate, working in partnership with International Orthodox Christian Charities, or IOCC, is helping deliver relief to Syria's victims of war. Welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Welcome, Serafim.
I'm so glad that you could be with us today to share more of what's going on in this terrible conflict. Could you describe the current living conditions inside the country?
You know, after, let's say, now we entered the fifth year of the conflict in Syria. And after, let's say, so many years of internal conflicts and really the destruction of the infrastructure, so we can imagine, for example, how many areas and regions are lacking of having enough electricity or potable water or enough shelters or medical care or education. You cannot imagine how the country lost, for example, over the last few years of public services, which used to offer all required services free of charge in terms of education or health and all other services. There are a lot of buildings now out of service, and especially in places, for example, where there are a lot of internal conflicts, and also the other facilities existed in safe areas where there are a lot of IDPs. Those institutions cannot offer, let's say, the advocate and enough services to people. Because you cannot imagine if there is a place where it was inhabited by, let's say, 50,000 inhabitants, and now it's inhabited by 250,000 inhabitants. So how can, let's say, the municipality of such a place is providing enough water, enough education, enough health services, enough other services? So really, we are really facing such problems in different places. On the one hand, on the areas which are still facing hot, for example, clashes and problems and inhabited by, let's say, armed groups, and also in other areas which are still witnessing, let's say, like security and the safety is much better, but the other services cannot be really offered to the majority of people who flew, as you said in your introduction, from one place to another one.
Right, right. They're just overwhelmed.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So now the government tried, for example, to provide electricity according to the availability of electricity in each place. So in some cases, in some places, for example, like in the north, in Aleppo, so hardly people can get electricity maybe for a few days. In other places, the situation is much better by really having, let's say, the cut of electricity every 3 hours or every 2 hours. It depends. And other regions might really have water once a week or maybe twice a week. And now, in a later stage, I will really report to you how our programs really, through, for example, the WASH activities, enabled, for example, thousands of inhabitants to get, let's say, potable water by digging wells in different places.
So tell us a little bit, I guess, about what you focus on, given how difficult the situation is. Do you focus on all of these different needs, or do you focus mainly on water and food and healthcare? How do you approach the problem?
We try really to meet the needs. For example, let's say as much as possible. We know that the needs are increased, let's say, day after day, and it is beyond, let's say, the capacity of the government, beyond even the capacity of UN agencies, and become, let's say, beyond, for example, the capacity of any local or international NGOs working on the country, on the field. But we tried recently really to expand our scope of activities to not to limit, for example, the aid we are offering to food and non-food items. We recently managed, for example, to provide like health care to needy people by providing medicines and really covering the cost of many surgical operations in public and private hospitals, and also really to help women, pregnant women, with safe delivery of their child, and also to meet the needs of people who are suffering of cancers. And really, that program really, you cannot imagine how many people we were able to help through the donations which came from IOCC. Also, we expand our activities to on the WASH area, means that water, sanitation, and WASH promotion. We were able to dig many wells in different areas where it hosted a lot of ITPs, and the water at the very beginning was not enough, let's say, to the inhabitants of those places. Now we have wells in all places, not only just to dig wells, but also to provide the equipment, pumps, generators, and everything to provide water to each home and to each person. Still, the needs are great, and according to our possibilities, we cannot really dig wells in many places. But I think we can consider ourselves as one of the potential, for example, body working in this field, in addition to UNICEF and other, for example, international NGOs who are specialized in water activity. And not only just to do that, but also to distribute hygiene kits to thousands of families, and to convene also like WASH promotion sessions, let's say, at the level of the community and in schools. And recently, we were able to rehabilitate the WASH facilities, means toilets and potable water in public schools, because the students didn't have enough, for example, facilities at that time, and really the possible contamination of a lot of disease by not having enough, let's say, and safe like hygiene facilities in schools. So we rehabilitated a lot of toilets and the hygiene facilities inside the schools, in addition to organize like sessions, awareness sessions for students and including the staff of the schools, in order to know how to use water, how to use those toilets, let's say, in a very efficient and clean ways. So also, for example, through our volunteers, and we are convening a lot of like health awareness program and WASH awareness program in at the level of the communities, women, families, in order to know, to teach them how they should cope with the new situation they are living in. Because you know that if a family moved from one place to another one, the whole life conditions completely become different. So to what extent, for example, those families can really accommodate themselves with the new housing conditions where they may not have enough water, they may not have enough, for example, facilities, they are sharing the same apartments if they are living in a public, for example, or private shelters. Along with these activities, we were able also to rehabilitate a lot of public and private shelters. In the past, those people used to live like to share the same facilities. Many families are using only one toilet or maybe one small kitchen. But when we began really rehabilitating the private shelters, we put, let's say, like basic standards for this activity by really having special units for each family, even if one family can share one apartment, even to have very small facility in order to really provide the privacy of such sections, because really it is very sensitive, for example, when many people are using the same facility. So even the level of how we rehabilitate private shelters is completely different from other, let's say, international organizations when they put only plastic sheets on windows, for example, or only to have like one shared units, let's say, in one place to many families. In our case, we put, for example, like wooden windows with the glasses. We put, let's say, good partitions, wood partitions inside the apartments to have also safety electrical installations and safety, for example, sewage system in each, let's say, facility. This gives, for example, a unique performance, let's say, in this area. So we try our best. We try as much as we have the facilities in hand to do whatever we can do. But it doesn't mean that really we are meeting the whole needs, because you know that even the families who are obliged to leave their homes, let's say, especially like what happened in Jisr al-Shuhur and Idlib recently, when both areas were invaded by the armed groups, for example. So those families had to flee and to go to settle in other apartments and rented apartments or with their neighbors, with their relatives. So you cannot imagine like what when you are sharing, for example, an apartment, which hardly can meet the needs of the original inhabitants, and then you come and then you have to share, let's say, their spaces. So it's not easy. And also if they have to rent, for example, an incomplete apartment where they don't have, let's say, safe, let's say, kitchen or maybe safe toilet or maybe safe electrical wiring, let's say, something like this, or living, for example, in a neighborhood which do not have, let's say, advocate, for example, services. The ones who used to enjoy, for example, living in their apartments with very good conditions, all of a sudden they found themselves in a different condition. How we can really respond to such needs? It's a big challenge, in my opinion, and really it's not easy. We can talk about such suffering, but I cannot really describe how those people are feeling on a daily basis if I am not one of them.
Yeah, that raises one question for me, which is, you know, you and your staff are there on the ground, you're citizens of Syria. How do you cope with the personal strain of dealing with all of this hardship?
I should confess that it is hard for all of us. But, of course, you cannot withdraw. Sometimes you do feel that you have to have time for yourself, you have really to relax, you have to withdraw. You know, we are in the end, we are all human beings. We have our own challenges. Sometimes we can be very much depressed. Sometimes we feel that the challenges become beyond our capacity, our personal capacities. But even though you find at the end that you find yourself that you cannot withdraw, it is a duty that you have to fulfill. We count on God help, on God, let's say, support, let's say, on daily basis. We have really, I can confess that we have brave, potential, dedicated staff who are taking risk, let's say, on daily basis in order to deliver aids to all people, not only in terms of the distribution activities, but also in all activities. For example, in some places where the security conditions are very, very tense and very hard, so you can see still people are going and really doing the rehabilitation work, either in private shelters or in public shelters, or providing the medication aid to people, and etc. So really we have dedicated staff, thanks to God, that really we have them in our department. And really sometimes we gather together, we pray together, we fortify each other, let's say, we support each other. And more importantly, in my opinion, that really our staff are not working for dirt, for example, just because they can find a job. It is a dedication. It is a belief on what we are doing. Because if we do not believe that, faith can be translated into actions. So we can really, it is like when St. Paul says that if I don't have love, so what does it mean to talk about love, you see? So it is really a journey of witness, in my opinion, a journey of faith. In addition, because in the end, we want to reflect the message of peace, the message of love, let's say, for each individual we are serving who is really created in the image of God. And also, when we talk, when personally I address, for example, the staff about on different occasions, I say that we have to see the face of Christ in each, let's say, human being we are serving. By doing this, I think really we do feel that a new support came from above, which can generate more our efforts in order to do more and more. I do hope that we can keep such faith, we can keep such commitment, although many of our potential staff have a lot of, let's say, offers to leave and to go or to travel and to get better job, to be much more safe, for example. But even though many of them still consider that they have to witness, they have to stay because they have a duty towards their country, towards their church. And really, we count on such people to continue their witness and their work with us. Otherwise, really, it would be very difficult, really, to meet with the increasing needs and really to meet the needs, let's say, of the people.
Yeah, I've read, I should say, that you've reached something like 2.3 million people with humanitarian relief. Do you think that you and your staff's personal connection to the people there has been key to your success?
Look, I would tell you that it's not a matter of number, in my opinion. Also, we have to look to the impact of the program, because it's not in the end of the day to see how much we are serving it, but more importantly, to see, do our programs really create a difference on the ground, not only, let's say, at the level of numbers, statistics, but also on, at the level of, let's say, the people. I can tell you that, yes, we are reaching more and more people, but more importantly, that we are serving people in dignity and in love, in respect, which is very important. It's easy, for example, to distribute maybe 10,000 of hygiene kits, and then you can come at the end of the day, for example, and say, look, I mean, I achieved this and this and this, just really to please either, for example, your staff, your administration, or your donors. This is not, let's say, the objectives of all our programs. More importantly is really to see if our programs have impact on the local ground, on the local, at the local level. And I can assure you why many people are coming to our distribution centers or to our offices, why all people really prefer to come to us, because we are really providing services in respect to the each single needs of the people. We provide, let's say, the aid, let's say, by protecting the dignity and the respect of all of each beneficiary. Many beneficiaries could come to you not just to take, let's say, some aid, but also to feel that they are respected. And that's what we are really teaching our staff, let's say, to do when they meet, let's say, the people. And when people come to our places on either, let's say, to get aid or maybe to share like psychological support program or education or whatsoever, they can tell us and really that really when we come here, we feel that we are completely different. We come with something in our heart and we leave, let's say, having, let's say, like a new spirit, a new challenge, a new hope. And this is very important in my opinion, regardless of the numbers. It is more important that really to do everything in respect to the human being.
Sure. Yeah, that's beautiful. Maybe tell our listeners a little bit where they could find out more about your programs and how they could get involved or support your efforts.
Yes, you are right. I think the IOCC organization is doing a great deal by informing people about what we are doing in our activities. And I think also maybe very soon the Archdiocese of North America related to the Antiochian Patriarchate should also do the same. And I think we can join our efforts because not even single organization can meet the needs. As long as we can really advocate the people here more about our challenges, I think the further we can get more funding and we can get more people who wants to be part of this program. Yet, I think we are depending on many individuals, but I know that there are a lot of other individuals. Maybe thousands of people do not know about what's happening in our context. Not because they don't want to share, maybe because of the issue of information, or maybe because of the issue that we have to shake their hearts and really to let them really believe that they have a duty ahead of them to share and to support. Because when we support from our own pocket, we have to have the belief that we are supporting the gifts God, we are sharing the gifts of God. It's not my own money. This is the money that God really allowed me to get, and I have to share, let's say, the others, let's say, with this. We have to advocate people about the importance of giving, regardless if those people would be known or really to be decorated with a plate about how much they are paying or giving. I think, and I do believe, not only the Christian Orthodox who might be interested in our program, there are a lot of other organizations which are giving a lot of money to other people because they do believe about our case. What we can do is really maybe to have more living witnesses, for example, to talk about, let's say, this program, to talk about what we are doing, to reflect this with a lot of media, for example, tools, so that really all people can know about this program. The program is not, and it shouldn't be, for example, like any traditional humanitarian relief activities, as we can see it, let's say, in different contexts. The program is really to sustain the Christian presence in its land, in its cradle of presence. We all believe, and this is a reality, not a belief, that our place is the cradle of Christianity. When we talk about Christian presence, we cannot talk just as if we are talking sermons in heaven, but also when we want to have it, let's say, as a reality on the ground, there should be commitment by all people belonging to the body of Jesus Christ. whether it be Orthodox, Catholic, Protestant, not important. More importantly is not to witness a time where no even single Christian can be there. All our churches, let's say, become, let's say, like empty or become like museum. Yes, we should admit that we lost a lot of churches. A lot of churches were destroyed completely. By intention, it was they were destroyed. And by intention, many Christian communities who used to live in their places for hundreds of years were deported, let's say, in order really to finish, let's say, like any sign of their historical presence. But in history, we can learn a lot that we can rebuild our churches even much better than it used to be before. And really, we can retain people, let's say, back to their places, no matter geography, where if people move from one village to another one, but at least to keep the presence in that piece of land. This is very important, and this is a commitment for all people. Mm. It's not only my commitment as a person still living in that in Syria, or the staff, or the church, or the administration of the church. It is really a living duty for all those who are really claiming that they are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Mm. It is, I think we have to really to advocate all people about this, not only in North America, but also in South America, in Canada, in Brazil, in everywhere. And this is not only the role of IOCC, it is also the role of all of us as one body. Your role to broadcast such, for example, information or such interview would be very important, in my opinion, really to raise the awareness about, let's say, what's going on in our country. What happened in Iraq was like a very hard lesson to many people, and even the whole world do not want to listen what happened to Iraq. To the Christians on Mosul, for example, when they are living in tents, for example, now in Erbil, in Nineveh, for example, Valley. Right. So people, unfortunately, I don't understand why they don't want to really to listen and really to understand and to react very quickly. Maybe we should really work in a different way together. I don't know. Mm. But really, this is a question I want to put, let's say, on the mind of all human beings nowadays.
Yeah, that's beautifully stated. Very difficult, unfortunately, to capture even Christians' imagination in the West, but we have to do what we can. Well, thank you so much for your time and for all that you do and your humanitarian work on behalf of the church, and we look forward to sharing your vision and your words with our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to your radio for having this unique opportunity, in my opinion. Please pray for us, and we are ready at any time really to report to you about what's happening and what's going on. Thanks to all our donors, including IOCC and others. And God bless you, because at least, for example, you have the interest, let's say, to let people know what's going on.